You're listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves.
Welcome to Atlanta Baseball Talk, show number 376 and our 10th full season of the podcast. Today is Sunday, July 23rd, 2017, and my name is Steve. I'm joined by both Hammy and Kurt. And folks, help us out by giving us a review on iTunes. Tell your friends about us and retweet the links that we post on Twitter to the show. We would appreciate it. All right, guys, in tonight's show, we'll discuss Dansby's move to the bench, predictions on the trade deadline, and look at the farm. But first, let's listen to our sit-down with Kevin McAlpin from the Braves Radio Network right after this quick break. We're very happy to be joined by Kevin McAlpin, beat reporter for the Braves Radio Network and correspondent for the MLB Network. Kevin, thanks for the time. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Yeah, doing fine. So, Kevin, I want to start with the trade deadline. It seems to me, despite all the conversation about what will the Braves do, what won't they do, it seems that they were never going to spend any of the really valuable assets in the minor leagues for rentals to make a run this year. Do you agree with that?
I do. You know, I think whatever the Braves do, buying, selling, combination of the two, I think it's gonna if you're going to part ways with prospects, which I think there's still a potential that they could do, you're going to try to find guys that are controllable. And I'm talking about controllable starting pitching. You know, Sonny Gray's name keeps coming up in conversations. I think that the A's are going to find a team to overpay even more than the Braves would be willing to go. So I think that's the direction they'd be leaning if they're looking for starting pitching help. They would not be looking for a rental at this point. You're looking for somebody under control for two, three, maybe even four more years going forward.
So speaking of trades, we're recording this right before Saturday night's game in L.A. Twitter's been pretty quiet on the Jaime Garcia front. Are you hearing anything today?
I'm not, other than the fact that there are a number of teams, obviously, after last night's outing, a really good performance on the mound and at the plate for Jaime Garcia. I know that obviously will help his stock rise even higher than it was maybe a couple of days ago. But as of now, all is quiet. It does sound like things between the Braves and the Twins that, you know, I think that there were maybe some conflicting reports about how far along that deal had actually gotten. To me, I think that deal is probably off, and I think both teams are looking elsewhere and going in different directions at this point.
So after watching Dansby's first at-bat in Game 1 Thursday against the Dodgers, where he came in for Brandon Phillips, and he watched a ball go straight down the middle for a called third strike, it was the first time that I thought, it's time to send him down. Particularly with the fact that he's not getting regular playing time. So, Kevin, two questions. What would you do, and what do you think the team's going to do?
Well, I'll be honest. I would probably think about sending him down. At this point, you know, Johan Camargo has established himself as an everyday player, a guy that you can rely on. He's come up with some really big base hits for this club, and his glove has been outstanding. So, you know, when you've got Sean Rodriguez now as an option, you've got Danny Santana back, you've got depth in the infield like you didn't have a couple of weeks ago. So I think as far as Dansby's concerned, right now they're going to continue to pick and choose their spots. But if it was up to me, I would probably send him down so this kid can get four ABs a day and play on a regular basis, because, you know, you don't want him, you know, sitting on the bench. I mean, that doesn't do him a whole lot of good either. So I personally think you might have to think about making that decision because, again, you've got guys in those positions that you didn't necessarily have here recently.
And do you think the team is planning to just play him, whatever, two times a week, and that's what they're going to stick with the rest of the season?
Well, for now. Yeah, I mean, that's certainly the short-term plan. And again, the team hasn't ruled out sending him down. So I still think that door is open. There's a possibility that could still happen. But for now, I think they're going to try to find favorable matchups, put him in a position where he can be successful. And you know, hitting's contagious. You know, you start heating up and things can turn around in a hurry. So trying to find favorable spots to play him, like tonight against another left-hander. Hopefully that's something that can get him going, because tomorrow, obviously, is going to be a real challenge. Obviously, anytime you face Kershaw, you know that you're going to have your work cut out for you, whether you're right-handed or left-handed.
Kevin, how much do you believe in Camargo?
I'm a believer. I really am. You know, this is a guy I thought was really close this spring training. I was really impressed with his offensive game defense was an area that was still a little suspect, and that's why he didn't make the club coming into the season. But he was knocking on the door, and I think the big thing with Camargo was I think he realized that the later it got in spring training, the closer he was getting to winning one of those bench spots to open the season. So I think Camargo has a chance to be an everyday player at this league. I really, really like him. He's got a tremendous arm, an accurate arm. He's smooth in the field. And again, the bat has always been there. So I think he's got a chance to be a productive everyday player at this league.
Do you think the Braves will consider Camargo being the starting third baseman in 18?
Yeah, I think there is that possibility. You know, there's not a whole lot of depth there, you know, right now. So as far as, you know, where you're going to spend your money this offseason, that's an area that I think he's, you know, again, the playing time sort of speaks for itself right now with how often he's getting a chance to play pretty much on a daily basis now. So he's a versatile guy. He can play all over the place. But, you know, I think that there's certainly a chance you can go into spring training next year and have him fighting to try to win that everyday third base job. And again, you can use the assets that maybe you would put towards that position elsewhere, say maybe in the starting pitching market this offseason.
So, Kevin, after the Quintana trade was complete, a day or two later, reports came out that the Braves were involved to the very end and that they offered Ozzie Albies in their negotiations with the White Sox. So, in my mind, while there's probably not a huge number of untouchables in the Braves system, I assumed that Ozzie was one of them. Did that news surprise you?
Not really. And I'm not going to say, you know, it's funny. I was just talking with Alex Wood this afternoon in the Dodgers clubhouse about Ozzie Albies, and he asked what the status was. And I said, you know, they're still really high on him. They think he's got a chance to be, a big part of what the Braves do for the foreseeable future. That being said, I think that he is not necessarily an untouchable prospect right now. I think you put a guy like a Maiton in that conversation. Ronald Acuna, certainly a guy who is completely untouchable. He is not going anywhere for anybody. I just tell you that right now. While maybe a year ago we would have said Ozzie is a guy that they're going to hold on to, there's no way he's a trade piece. I think that there's more of that door's open just slightly. So, again, I'm not saying the Braves are down on him or that they've soured on him at all, because they still really like him a lot. He's doing some great things at AAA, but I don't know that he's necessarily as untouchable as he was 365 days ago.
Kevin, can you tell us anything about that conversation with Alex Wood? Was there any debrief on Friday night's game and his, you know, snapping his win streak and scoring more runs at Dodger Stadium than in a long time? Did he talk about the Braves team?
You know what? I tried to stay away from what happened last night because I didn't want to bring up a poor performance. But, you know, it was interesting talking to him. He said he still really follows the Braves closely. He's kept a close eye on what this team has done in the rebuild. And it was interesting because when I talked to him, I said, the last time we really saw you and talked to you was the night you got traded, and you looked like you were shell-shocked. You didn't know what was going on. But he said, look, this is an opportunity that's worked out for both teams in the end. It's been a great chance for him to pitch and learn and work with Clayton Kershaw, who's the best in the game, hands down. So I think he likes it here, and rightfully so, given the fact that the team's playing well. He's performing at a very, very high level. So it was great to visit with him. And it's interesting because he still makes his offseason home in the Atlanta area. So Georgia is still home. He's still a Southeast kid. And he still, again, follows the Braves very, very closely, even joking that he still follows us nitwits, meaning me and Bowman and O'Brien, on Twitter and keeps up with the team that way. So I know it wasn't the performance he wanted against his former club, but, you know, it's not terribly surprising. He's a very emotional guy, and I've got to think that adrenaline was pumping just a little bit more than normal last night, seeing his old team across the way.
Well, a weird start after the, you know, when Inciarte probably should have been out at the plate, and then the guy dropped the ball, and then it was sort of a weird start to the game. I wonder if that had something to do with it for him.
It was very strange. I mean, look, there was a lot of folks that jaws were dropped when he gave up a grand slam to Jaime Garcia. I mean, it's just not the way he's been pitching. You look at his numbers this year. I mean, they're video game numbers. And for as poor of a performance as it was for him last night, giving up 8 runs, his ERA only went from 1.5 to like 2.10. So when you have a night like that and your ERA only ticks up about a half a point, you know things have gone really, really well for you this season.
So, Kevin, as we're recording this, the Braves are back to one game under 500. Assuming they remain close to 500 by the end of the season, Do you think that Brian Snitker is back next year?
Well, I would like to hear the argument for why he shouldn't be. I'll be honest, and that's what I said this time last year when we were talking about him having the interim, you know, status and what it would take for the Braves to give him the job. And, you know, Bud Black's name popped up. A couple other names popped up this offseason that the Braves interviewed from an external standpoint. And I said the same thing then. I would love to hear the justification for why you wouldn't bring him back. And you know, if I'm the Braves, I would give him a multi-year extension. I mean, this is a guy who's done everything for your organization, from the minors to the big leagues, from coaching to managing. I mean, this guy has done everything you've asked and then some. So he's got this guy's, the guys in the clubhouse respect, which is a big thing. Let's not sell short how important it is for guys to respect their manager and go out and play hard for him on a nightly basis. So I don't see why he wouldn't be back next year. And again, if I'm the Braves, I think about giving him a multi-year deal just to reward him for everything he's done in his career.
Yeah, this year was obviously a tryout. I think obviously they didn't even necessarily expect that he would be back this year. He was sort of, you know, a placeholder last year. But if they decide to stick with him, I agree, they would probably give him a multi-year deal. I hope that if Snitker stays around, we could keep Ron Washington as well.
You know what? It's a great coaching staff. It really is. You know, when you talk about the experience that they have with Wash and the hard work he's put in working with the infielders day in, day out. He's out there at 2:30 in the afternoon hitting ground balls to guys. And then, you know, Terry Pendleton's been a fixture in this organization, as has Eddie Perez. I think those guys have done a phenomenal job. And again, the guys love playing for all these guys. So the benefit of this coaching staff is there hasn't really been a revolving door. It's been a lot of consistent names and faces year in, year out. So it's a great mix of guys, and there's a ton of experience, and the guys have a ton of respect for everyone on that coaching staff.
All right, well, Kevin, look, we really appreciate your time. Everyone, follow Kevin McAlpin on Twitter. Listen to him on the Braves Radio Network and 6A to the Fan here in Atlanta. Kevin, enjoy the game tonight. Let's get another one and have a good performance from Julio on the mound, and we'll talk to you next time.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Prior to the first game against the Cubs last Monday, Brian Snitker announced that Dansby would be getting spot starts, but they felt that keeping him on the major league club was still best for him at this point. Since that announcement, he ended up making 3 starts this past week because of Brandon Phillips' injury and had a couple of pinch hit appearances as well. He closed out the week with a slash line of zeros across the board, not a hit, not a walk, 6 strikeouts in those 14 at-bats. In the 10 games prior to the announcement, he slashed 138, 265, 207. We heard Kevin McAlpin say he thought that Dansby should go down to AAA. So, Ham, start with you. What do you think? What should the Braves do with Dansby?
I don't think they should send him down, and I'm really on the fence on this. This is not something I feel super strongly about, but he had a great June. His slash line in June was 306, 355, 418. So it's not like he can't do it. Obviously, you know, even before this last week, his July slash line was 120, 267, 467. So on the other side, there's still stuff to figure out. But I think what he needs to figure out is just seeing major league pitching and understanding how these guys pitch people. I don't think there's fundamentals or the basics that he's going to learn by going down to AAA. I think he's got the fundamentals. I think what it is for him is just seeing more major league pitching, understanding how the different teams' approaches to batters are, and learning from the veterans that are already up here. So I know there's an argument to be made that, you know, he's not getting any reps by sitting on the bench, but I actually think the development that he needs to make is just being here, learning from the guys, and getting out there when he can. So I say keep him here.
So, Ham, I totally agree with what he needs to learn, particularly the slider. DOB was talking about it on Twitter on Sunday as well, that you don't go to AAA and see a lot of major league level sliders, you know, which is the thing that's been really a problem for him, the hole in his swing all season. And I wouldn't have said send him down even as early as the start of last week. But this week against the Cubs and against the Dodgers, he looked as bad as he has his whole major league career. Like, he was just watching fastballs go down the middle, which he never did. You know, I mean, he just looks so in his head and so messed up right now. I just think the going down to AAA letting the pressure off, having some success, you know, come back up in September. I think that does him a world of good,
but
despite the fact that I get what you're saying.
Yeah, but so I hear you, but it's different for him. Like, don't you think the pressure and the mental fatigue is bigger for him because he's the face of the franchise? He's the guy that was videotaped giving tours of the new clubhouse. Like, he was, and so now he's a big failure if he gets sent back. I don't think it actually makes it takes the pressure off. I think it makes it even worse for him.
It's a failure that day, and then he's out of the spotlight and he's down in Gwinnett and the glare is not so bright for a while. Curtis, what do you think?
Send him down. I think it also might help him to be down there with Albies, maybe sort of rekindle that relationship, and maybe that'll help him get going. The slider thing can really not be underestimated. I get the point that he's not going to see too many major league sliders in Gwinnett, but he can't hit sliders. He's seen so far this year 55 at bats where he's seen 324 sliders thrown to him. He has four hits. That's an 0.73. And like you said, Steve, he is so amped up to get a slider because he knows it's coming. That's why he's watching fastballs go down the middle, is because he's not even expecting to see a fastball anymore. He's expecting that every pitch is going to be a slider, and it almost throws him. I think it's detrimental. What if Brandon Phillips had not been hurt this week? Would he have played at all?
Well, you know, let's call it one or two starts.
So what's the point?
That's the other thing.
There is no, and to watch, I don't think it helps to watch Camargo continue to
hit two doubles every game.
Yeah. I mean, or make game saving catches over his shoulder that are impossible. I mean, that can't be helping at all. So I think it's best to sort of reset him. Not that in any sense of the word giving up on him or anything like that. And from everything we've read about him, his character, his makeup, he's handled all this with great professionalism. And I think that this is just going to have to be part of. He can talk to Ron Gant, who's in Atlanta. Ron Gant gets sent down to AA. So, you know, I mean, it's going to have to be something that they're going to have to do, because right now it's not working. And I just don't see the value in him being a bench player for Atlanta.
All right. So guys, we know that Jaime Garcia was almost dealt to the Twins earlier this week. And that they still think it's going to happen. Aaron Blair threw one inning for Gwinnett on Sunday to stay on schedule to take his spot, Garcia's, in the upcoming Arizona series if he does get traded. Staying on that topic, Buster Olney reported earlier this week that the Braves would likely not trade Matt Adams given the weak market for position players right now. So, Kurt, final prediction, who is gone by the deadline?
Well, I think I had a whole big long list the last time we talked about this, and now I think it's one name. I think it's Garcia. I think a lot of these guys that potentially could have been traded have been hurt, like Phillips, have been taken off the market, like Adams, have been proven inadequate, like Jim Johnson.
Don't get Steve started.
Sorry. And yet you'd virtually be giving these guys away, and maybe in some cases, Jim Johnson, that would not be such a bad thing. But I think that Garcia, especially after the two solid starts he had back to back, perhaps his trade value is going up. I forget what the last number was. There were eight teams still looking at him.
Yeah, that's what they were saying this past weekend.
So I think, yeah, it probably will end up. And I think the Braves still want to be respectable. I know that they don't really have a shot anymore. But I think that they don't want to be a team that, you know, drops down and wins 70 games this season.
Yeah, they want to hit that 500 mark. I agree. I mean, if the trade market they're saying is weak for Matt Adams, who has another year of control, then there's going to be no trade market for Brandon Adams. And I was convinced he was going to go. Brandon Phillips.
And Brandon Adams, the 680, the zone.
Yeah, the 680, the
he's
the
gone
guy on 680.
He's gone.
Yeah.
totally going to the Twins.
You know, and Jim Johnson might have had, yeah, like you said, Kurt, he might have had some value a month ago, but he's had a bad July. Hammy, what do you think?
I agree. I mean, I'm glad we're keeping Matt Adams. He's controllable. You know, I think he's ARB3 eligible next year. He's only making $2.8 million this year. He protects us against Freddie getting injured, which unfortunately is something we have to be protected against. And I think it does it quite well. It gives us great power off the bench. So I'm happy not to see him gone. And I'm glad, you don't know what's going on with all the negotiations with Jaime and what Coppy is doing, but I am glad that he's not jumping at the first offer, that I'm glad that this is taking longer and that we're letting, you know, Jaime build up his value and we're going to get the most from this trade. I'm excited for that, and I think he's the only one that's gone. There's nobody else. Like Kurt said, nobody else is really warrants somebody trading for that we would give up.
All right, guys, so let's look at some recent numbers of some of the guys down in AAA, and we'll start with Ronald Acuna. We talked about him a bunch last week. He's now played 10 games in AAA. He's slashing .231, .348, .462. Of his 9 hits, 3 are doubles and 2 are home runs. So, look, this is exactly what I would expect him to do. Kind of, sort of rushed to AAA, you could say, at 19, but he's certainly holding his own. And it's great. I mean, this is exciting what he's doing. You know, he hasn't totally fallen off a cliff. He's hitting. He's still hitting for power. Can't wait to see what he does all through August as well. Ozzie Albies. So in the month of June, heading into Sunday's game, he was slashing .316, .353, .494 with 7 extra base hits. I mean, Albies keeps on producing. I think that Brandon Phillips has just been too good to bring Albies up, but anyone disagree that we don't see him in September?
No, I thought he was getting traded.
I know.
Well,
it's still. I mean, the big question mark around DOB's, his tweet last week and why Albies has fallen is still there for me because he still seems like he's the real deal. And
yeah, again, I don't know that he's fallen. I just think they don't view him as untouchable. I think is a better way to put it. That's they clearly don't fair. View him as untouchable if they're going to put him in that Quintana deal.
Yeah, and we certainly have depth there now.
Yeah, but not like future of the franchise depth. I mean, the Camargo story is great, but it's a little early to believe that Camargo is a long-term answer anywhere. The league hasn't adjusted to him yet. We haven't seen his adjustment yet. It just feels like putting a lot of eggs in that basket. Now, I get you. Every day he just keeps hitting and keeps producing. But yeah. I don't know.
And we still, I wouldn't say our future is certain at third. So
No. He could be the starting third baseman next year, yeah, Camargo.
Absolutely.
All right, let's move on to some pitchers. So Medlin had a 5-inning, 0-run appearance earlier this week. The two prior, he gave up 3 earned runs and 2 earned runs, respectively. Lucas Sims had a 7-inning, 0 earned run appearance earlier this week. He gave up 3 earned runs in the 2 starts before that. And Aaron Blair gave up 3, 0, and 2 over his last 3 starts. You know, I was a little surprised that Blair was the guy that was going to replace Garcia. But he's on the 40 man. Medlin is not. Lucas Sims is as well. I mean, Lucas Sims could have made that start this weekend in place of Jaime as well. They chose Blair. Maybe just they wanted someone that had a little more experience in the majors. But Medlin and Sims are certainly, making cases to come up if needed.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they're just trying to definitively decide they're ready to move on Blair. This is his last shot. And then just, clear the decks. Who knows?
All right, guys, next up, the postseason hope meter. But first, a quick break. So last week, we were all fired up as the Braves were 6 games back of the second wild spot with only the Cubs in front of them. Then they got swept by the Cubs to start the week. And on Sunday night, they are 12 back of the Nats and 9 out of the second wild card spot with now not only the Cubs, but the Cards and the Pirates between them and that spot. So, Ham, here's how we play on a scale of 1 to 10. How likely do you think it is that the Braves will make the playoffs this year? Now, Ham, this could really be the last appearance of the postseason home meter, so make it count.
13. Yeah, I was a six last week, and it certainly took a shot this week. I don't think our bullpen is good enough. I don't think, you know, I think we have enough good starting pitching to be competitive. I love our offense, but we do not have the pieces, and I was unrealistic last week. So I say a three.
Yeah. I mean, look, when we played this game last week, that Cubs series was coming up. We take two of three from that Cubs series or sweep them, it's really a whole different story. Getting swept by the Cubs was just a killer.
I would even say if today or yesterday it turned out differently and we'd won that Dodgers series, that my number is a little higher, right? I mean, you catch the Cubs, they're hot. But coming out to L.A. where we never play well, and those first two games were so great.
So great.
So great. I was like, wow, this is, you know, maybe the Cubs series is an aberration and this is really who we are. But I think who we really are is not quite ready.
Curtis, what do you got?
Yeah, same. I mean, obviously this series in L.A. was great. To take two and fight back today and be in a position to get another win, it's... You see glimpses. It's exciting, but yeah, I was a four. I won, probably.
Yeah, and I'm right in the middle. I'm a solid two. All right, guys, time for Shot in the Dark, our predictions for the coming week, and we'll start by reviewing how everyone did last week, and we'll start with our listener Shot in the Dark from Hunter Rhodes on Twitter, who predicted that the Braves would hit three home runs off Alex Wood, and that Wood would lose his first game of the season. And my God, it was close. Just off by one homer. The Braves hit two off Wood. Obviously gave him his first loss of the season. So very nice work.
I think we should give it to him because one of those was Jaime Garcia hitting a grand slam.
That should count as
that should
two
count
Braves
as
homers.
Four home runs. And yeah, Freddie's exactly. Homer was an opposite field one, which was just beautiful as well. So I'm giving it to you.
All right, congratulations, Hunter.
Yeah.
All right, let's see how the three of us did. So, Ham, you predicted that Ender would have 14 hits this week. Not a great week for Ender. He had five total hits.
I know, and all of those came in L.A.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Curtis, you predicted that Kemp would bat over 300 with three home runs. He batted 296 with no homers. I predicted that Tehran would give up fewer runs in his start against John Lester with the Cubs, and that Garcia would give up fewer runs in L.A. when he faced Alex Wood. And I was half right and close. Tehran gave up two to Lester's one. Garcia gave up three to Wood's, it's still unbelievable, Wood's seven that night. All right, so no winners. Kurt remains with a 2-0 lead. So, Hammy, what's your shot in the dark for this week?
I think Freddie keeps it rolling and has three homers this week.
All right, Curtis.
I say Ender bounces back and bats over 325 with two homers this week.
All right, I'm going for a twofer here. I'm predicting that Dansby gets sent down and that someone other than Jim Johnson gets the most save opportunities this week.
Is that a hope in the dark or a shot?
Well, you know, those intermingle a lot in this segment.
Yep.
So, guys, would you keep throwing Jim Johnson out in the ninth inning? I mean, I know that basically the other options, right, are Vizcaino and then Jose Ramirez, both guys who, you know, are up and down as well. But do you keep throwing Jim Johnson out?
No.
I mean, you might as well just see who feels hot and better matchups. Try to get Vizcaino out there a little bit.
Yeah,
to
me,
the future.
See what Vizcaino does. You know, make Ramirez 7, JJ 8, and Viz 9, and just see how it goes for a while. Because, bad Jim Johnson is so awful to watch.
And you know immediately. You can tell immediately. It was like when Craig Kimbrel was bad. You knew immediately that it was over.
Craig Kimbrel was never bad, Hammy.
That's right.
You're thinking of Craig Kimbrel that plays for the Red Sox.
Yeah. Somebody else must have blown that game against the Phillies for us when we lost the postseason, our bid for the postseason.
Meow.
Sorry. And Otis was safe, if we're, you know, since we're talking about wrongs.
Damn straight. Yeah. All right, folks, don't forget to get your shot in the dark in before first pitch on Monday. And if we pick yours, we'll discuss it on next week's show. All right, guys.
And Buster Posey was out, by the way. Sorry.
All right. Let's look at the week ahead. Six
we could
games
go all night.
All on the road. three against the Diamondbacks and three against the Phillies. And here are the pitching matchups. So Dickey faces Greinke and his 2.97 ERA. We missed Greinke in Atlanta. Next up is Folty versus Corbin and his 4.59. The Braves got two earned runs when they faced him in Atlanta earlier this month. Finishing up in Arizona, it will be Garcia, or Blair, I guess, versus Godley in his 3.32. The Braves knocked Godley around for six earned runs earlier this month. All right,
he
so
was
on the-
ungodly.
Yeah, exactly. I think Chip made that joke.
Oh, God.
You're in great company, Kurt.
Wow. I just threw up in my mouth eight times.
All right. On to Philadelphia, where it'll be Teheran versus Hellickson in his 4.73. Next up, Newcomb versus Eichhoff in his 4.71. And then closing out the week, Folty's second start versus Pavetta in his 5.58. You know, guys, as we record this, what's that?
It was on Pavetta. I'm going to use the same joke on everybody.
Excellent.
Chip does that too.
So the Phillies have the worst record in baseball. I don't know how bad it really was. They are 34-62 Sunday night as we're recording this.
We should have Dan on the show. Philly Dan.
Just to make fun of the Phillies.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe. Sounds good. All right, Hammy, what do you think the Braves do in these six games?
3-3.
1-2, 2-1.
0-3, 3-0.
Oh, God, I really hope they don't get swept in Arizona. All right, Curtis?
I go 3-3, but more of what you said, Steve. 1-2, 2-1.
Yeah, I will go 3-3 as well. But I wouldn't be shocked if we win that Arizona series. You know, we really knocked them around in Atlanta. I think that there's good momentum in that way coming in. And there's good, you know, we got good pitchers going in that. We got Dickey, Folty, and, well, Blair. So that'll be the one we lose, don't you right. see?
Yes.
Yes.
Perfect math.
All right, folks, that is the show. Remember, you can find us at Blog Talk Radio, as well as iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. And as always, you can find us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com to access past shows and to post in our comment section. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at ATL Baseball Talk and to like us on Facebook. Thanks again for listening, and go Braves!
Thanks for listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves. To find new shows, to post in our forum, or to send a comment, please visit us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com.